History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, thanks for joining us, everybody. This is News Radio WRVA. Rich Herrera with you, Richmond's Morning News. We are going to run out to the WRVA Newsmaker Hotline. Joining us right now, friend of this radio station, friend of this program, Mike Emanuel, Fox News Chief Washington Correspondent, our guest here on News Radio WRVA. Mike, good morning.
Rich, how you doing, pal?
I am good. Thank you so much for coming on with us. Before we get to the big, beautiful bill and everything going on at Capitol Hill, I just wanted to touch on what's going on down in the Hill Country just outside of San Antonio, some of the most beautiful parts of the country. You worked down in Texas before joining Fox News, and I know this was, about 3 hours away from Waco where all this is taking place, and I know you reported on it all weekend, and I just wanted to get your thoughts.
Yeah, the Texas Hill Country starts outside of Austin and runs down towards San Antonio, and so I had worked in the Austin market as well at one point, and I remember, you know, there were warnings from meteorologists and stuff like that about flash flooding when, you know, heavy concentrated rain would come, and, you know, you'd have to be careful around streams and stuff like that, that possibly it could rise up and potentially, like, sweep away a car. But this is like nothing I've ever seen and people I know in Texas have ever seen. And I my heart aches for these families. I mean, you take your precious little girl to church camp, to be with her friends, to learn about faith, and to hear that, you know, she may have been swept away in the middle of the night in a horrible storm. And, I had one of the counselors, a young woman, on yesterday on TV, and she just gave a riveting account about, you know, the young girls were awakened by the hearing the storm outside, and they were nervous and anxious, and then at some point the counselors made a decision that we need to walk out of here to get them out of here, and lining the kids up and walking them out and seeing the devastation around their campground. And thank God that young woman and her kids survived, but it's just devastating. I've heard from a lot of people back in Texas who know people who are posting pictures of missing young girls, and it's just devastating. And so my prayers are with those people, and God bless them.
And I thought, and I listened to it, I was actually in the car listening on Sirius XM to you on over the weekend, and I heard that report, and you made it actually come alive. You made it three-dimensional for me, because as we were talking about these counselors, we didn't realize that these counselors are just kids themselves.
Absolutely. I mean, she's a young woman who had gone to the camp, I think, 6 years as a camper, and now she's in her third year as a counselor. And so this Camp Mystic was really a second home for her, a place that she loved to go every year. She knew the director very, very well, a gentleman who was swept away in the flooding trying to save the children. And so it was just very moving to hear her accounts, and I was thrilled to be able to talk to her because that means she's alive. But for those other families, I cannot imagine what they're going through, to be wondering about a small child that, you know, they dropped off at summer camp.
Yeah, incredible, incredible. The other big thing that you were talking about this weekend is the big, beautiful bill. Being
right
on Capitol Hill, watching this thing move through, and I laugh because I go back to Schoolhouse Rock. I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill.
Right.
Give me some of the intrigue that got this thing to the finish line by the 4th of July deadline.
Well, I think there's no question President Trump played a huge role. When the President of the United States is on the phone for you and says, I need this, and, you know, answers all your questions and then invites you to the White House to say, like, come on, guys, let's do this. We can do some other things later, but let's get this across the finish line. You know, it's his central legislative agenda. Obviously, he has tremendous influence. We've seen him in public, you know, selling the American people on things. Well, when he's one-on-one on the phone with you, I think there's no doubt he played a huge role. I think Senate Majority Leader John Thune and House Speaker Mike Johnson and their leadership teams deserve tremendous credit as well, because, you know, when you got elected officials from all across this country that have different constituencies, you know, it's hurting cats. I mean, you know, there are some conservative folks who definitely want to cut more, and I respect that. There are some moderate folks who are in districts that could go Democrat, you know, quite frankly, in next November. And so they've got concerns about preserving, you know, their jobs. And so to get them all to yes, except for, you know, a couple here and there, and get it across the finish line by that 4th of July deadline explains why a lot of those Republicans are on cloud nine. I actually ran into House Speaker Mike Johnson yesterday at the Fox studios. He looked like the happiest guy in the world, you know, got it done by the president's deadline. And remember, he had to get it passed twice. They had the original House version of the bill. They sent it over to the Senate, and then the Senate sent back a different version of the bill, which the House had to vote on again. So it was really like rounding up for two votes on a critical piece of legislation. But they got it done. And so I think, you know, all those guys deserve a lot of credit, because that is not easy in this day's politics. And they got it done.
How tough was it?
Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh, my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
What kind of hurt feelings are there? Are there any big losers? I know Tom Tillis is not going to run for re-election for standing up for this. Yep. There's some other Republicans that are going to catch the wrath of their caucus for holding this thing up.
Well, I think Elon Musk looks weaker because, you know, he came out and threatened that he would run candidates against people who, you know, talked about cutting spending and then voted for this bill. And it didn't seem to scare anybody. I think they were like, you know, we got a job to do, and we're going to get this done, and we'll see the political impact of it. I think this is going to be the central issue of next year's midterms, and may very well become the central issue of the 2028 presidential campaign. You know, I covered the White House when President Barack Obama passed Obamacare, and that was the central issue of the next several elections. Republicans were able to run on it, and so now it's really up to this president and his congressional members to get out there and sell what they believe works in this piece of legislation. If they don't, if Democrats are more effective at selling it, then we could see a Democratic speaker next election and perhaps a Democratic Senate majority leader, depending on, you know, which states are most at risk. But you know, the stakes will be really high in next year's election, and so they need to be able to effectively get out there and say what this will do for the American people. And ultimately, it'll be about what impact the American people feel it has going to the polls next November and then perhaps in 2028 as well.
Am I over-exaggerating if I say that Donald Trump did go all in with the big, beautiful bill and the tax cuts? Because, again, this is either going to vault the Republicans to have a bigger majority for the second half of his presidency, or he can lose the House and the Senate and be a lame duck before he even gets to halfway through his term.
You're 100% correct, and I think the Republicans are blessed to have Donald Trump because he is such an effective communicator, particularly with his base on issues, and so it'll be key that he gets out there and sells it. But you're absolutely right. The stakes are so high, and, you know, we've seen the Democrats, I would say, calling balls and strikes, not being partisan, but calling balls and strikes, I would say the Democrats have been effective in demonizing aspects of this bill so far. We'll see what ultimately the American people think, but, like, you know, they're talking about Medicaid cuts, and then Scott Bessent went on TV yesterday and said, you know, only in Washington, D.C. is a 20% hike to Medicaid over 10 years considered a cut. And that is so true for your listeners. When lawmakers in Washington and stuffed shirts in Washington talk about making cuts, they're only talking about cutting the rate of growth. They're not talking about, you know, in our households, you cut something, it may mean it's going away. But in Washington, it's only about, you know, okay, how much more is it going to grow from today's standard? And so, you know, they've demonized that. They've talked about rural health care being affected. I asked a bunch of Republicans about the Medicaid aspect, about the rural health care aspect over the weekend, and they insisted that it's not going to have a devastating impact on rural health care. Ultimately, we'll see what the voters in those places say as this bill is enacted and, you know, really kicks in, about whether it's improving their lives or whether it's really hurting their lives. And the last point I'd make on that is that, you know, a lot of people love to cut government spending, but if it's like one program that you really like, then you get upset about it. And so, you know, that's politics, and we'll see how it all plays out.
So there's boy math, there's girl math, there's dog math, and there's DC math, where a cut really isn't a cut. It's just you slow down spending more. So now we figured all of that out. Hey, Mike, I want to ask you a quick question. I'm coming up to DC on Thursday and Friday. My son's in town. He's visiting. Yesterday we went to Monticello. The day before we went to Mount Vernon. We went to the Marine Corps Museum at Quantico. We went to Bucky's now that it's here in Virginia. So we're coming up to D.C. on Thursday. We're going to go to the White House, go on a tour of the White House on Thursday. We're going to go to the Capitol Thursday afternoon. We're going to go to Ford's Theater. What's something else that I need to make sure that I take my son to see while he's visiting?
Ooh, that's a good one. I love Air and Space Museum. There's one out by Dulles Airport, which is really big, and it's got a an old space shuttle there. And so that's always a crowd pleaser when we have people come to town. So that's great. The other aspect I would just say is, if the weather is decent, is just walking around the National Mall, going to the Washington Monument, going to the World War II Memorial, going to see these various monuments up close and in person. It's really compelling and powerful, particularly for a young person. So, maybe those are a couple ideas.
It's funny. He's 24 years old. I said, "What do you want to do? Do you want to go to a baseball game?" He goes, "Dad, we've gone to enough baseball games in our life." He goes, "I want to get my history nerd on, and I want to go see Thomas Jefferson's house, George Washington's house. I want to see everything. His big thing is he wanted to see Ford's Theater." So I said, "We got 3/4 of the everybody on Mount Rushmore during this trip. So it's been fun so far." So
great job, Dad. That's how you do it. Well done.
Thank you so much. All right. Hey, I know that you're busy. I'll let you go. Thank you for coming on with me, and I'll catch up with you real soon.
Rich, it's always a pleasure. Thank you, and call anytime.
Thank you so much. Mike Emanuel joins us here on News Radio WRVA.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.